Anyway, I had to go to County Lockup, 30 days, and I got out. And my friends, like any good military friend should do, said, "You want to like pay rent or get food? No, let's throw a party and invite whores and have a gangbang."
Hey, welcome back to Four for the Road, everybody. I'm your host, Punk Rock, and we got the fucking killer car crew with us today. We got Cole's roommate, also known as Garage Beard Dave, and the Virginia Beach Fixer himself, Cole the Gatman, the Shatman, from whatever fucking weird name he named his shop. How you guys doing today?
Hey, man, how long have you wanted to say the Gatman Shatman in a sentence?
I mean, it's better than what we were calling him.
Are you crunching on a fucking hot Cheeto while we're trying to make a podcast?
You bet your ass. At least I'm inside, you fuck.
Never
See,
would.
All that you're worried about fucking coal being in a car or noise, and you're over there crunching in the microphone on a Cheeto.
Can you guys really hear it?
No, not really. I can just see it. I can't really hear it.
Not with that $30 Best Buy microphone you got. Can't hear anything.
Hey,
that sounds
hey.
Crystal clear.
Hey. 40. All right. That was from Walmart.
Well, at least we get a chance to take two on this one. Hopefully Cole won't break another goddamn cell phone while we're recording.
To be fair, I broke a cell phone for you guys and bought a new one, and he gave me a reason to.
I bet he had insurance.
Fuck no.
Look at that man. Look at insurance. The fucking, dude, look at the roof in his car. That dude don't insure shit.
Nope. Yeah.
Dude, like, he doesn't even pull out. Like, he just deals with the consequences.
No, that's Dave. I think I've heard that story a couple times.
Yeah, it's not a podcast.
Oh, my God. 15 years ago, okay?
Fucking A. So, Cole, let's just jump right the fuck into this. So, for those of you who don't know who the Gatman is, he's actually one of the most awesome dudes that I'm forced to tolerate, that Dave introduced us on the last trip to Virginia. And he was just fucking super awesome dude. I was a little fucking nervous because of his affiliations. I was worried he was going to be a douchebag, but he ended up being a super fucking awesome guy, showing us a great time around town, introducing us.
Are you fucking reading this?
No.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm looking for the fucking approved questions, you cocksucker. But
he says affiliations. Like, don't just hang out with Dave and fucking Drifter all the time.
Fine, like, yeah, fine. Like, finish reading your writing.
Still fucking looking for the questions, guy. Oh, see right there. Nope. That's just how you text like a 14-year-old sometimes. Dude. But anyways, no, he was. I mean, he just showed us a great time. He was really cool to fucking hang out with, and I look forward to fucking doing some dirty things in Virginia Beach with him when I get up there next month.
Well, before we gargle on his balls any further, I will reiterate what I said when I posted about having him on the podcast. Cole is one of the best club dudes any club could have. I don't care what the fuck your club is doing, what type of club you are, etc. You need to have somebody like fucking Cole in your club. Cole is fucking stand up. He's not overly handsome, so that's good, but he's just a fucking good dude. He's a fucking whiz mechanic. I mean, he's down for the homies. All the good adjectives and fucking verbiage that you want to use to describe what a club dude should be, Cole fucking is. And I will say, you know, like I lived in Virginia previously. I have, my son lives in Virginia. I spent a lot of time coming back to Virginia. And Cole is just one of the best dudes out there. And he's really got a group of dudes that are just fucking phenomenal to hang out with. They're great to ride with. It's a good vibe. It's a good scene out there. And no matter what you're looking for, you want to just ride, you want to do club stuff, you want to fucking get drunk and hit on bartenders, Virginia Beach fucking has it for you. And so that's why I'm glad that we had a chance to get Cole on this fucking podcast. And not only that, but Cole is going to rep his friends at, where does Dan work? And Jake.
Oh, you're talking handsome Dan? Old dapper
Dan. Let's
do
this shit. Let's get into how good looking Dan is and where they work so that we can
You want to go? Go ahead and get it out of the way. Because Dave just can't handle it. He can't stop himself. He has to talk about Dan and how handsome he is. And he does look like a middle-aged.
Hey, Jake's no slouch either, okay?
Okay, fair.
Jake's a pretty handsome dude himself.
So we will get to repping the homies, right?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Do we have to stick to your script?
Yeah, motherfucker.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
It's approved. I sent it out. It was approved by fucking HR, okay? But Cole, seriously, start us off at the beginning, man. What got you into the motorbike scene, man?
Got me into bikes, man, dude. So, like, I grew up in, like, the central northern Virginia area. It's called, basically, it's northern Virginia now, but back in the day, it was all farmland and stuff. So, I grew up on, like, dirt bikes, four-wheelers, had stuff like that all the time. And then as I got older, small town life, got my first Harley. And, like, man, I'm younger, so I want to say, like, 2013, got my 09 Super Glide, and rode that thing for, like, 4 years, man, and just never could get, like, couldn't get me off of it, loved it, every minute of it, and then I was broke as shit, so I had to teach myself how to work on it. Luckily, I had friends that knew how to, like, hold a wrench and kind of got me through everything, but the Harley game, never put it down. Got a couple friends of ours that try to get me on Indians and stuff like that. Can't do it. Refused.
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah, Jim. Jumper.
Dude, but I love that. So, like dude was talking, like, before our last podcast got cut off, like, when he came up to Virginia, like, that's all he had was his bike. Like, Virginia gets some snow. Virginia can get cold, all that shit. And this dude was just mobbing around on his, what is it? You said a 09 Wide Glide?
Fuck no, not a Wide Glide. A Super Glide.
Whatever.
Yeah. God damn. I don't like it, date my cousins and shit. I don't ride a
fucking wide calm glide. Down, Jack Steller. All right. Yeah. Fucking.
Yeah, if you got.
Yeah, when I moved to Virginia Beach, all I had was the Dyna. So, man, it was like the first 8 months I lived here. So I went through like half of a winter and then like that through that whole summer. And then like think that fall I got my car back from my brother when he went to college. And still have the same car. It's like the third bike I've had since then. But
were you into mechanics and shit like that before somebody started teaching about Harleys? Because for anybody that doesn't know Cole, there's not a fucking thing that Cole can't fix. I mean, if you need your bike fixed, your car fixed, your girl's plumbing's backed up, Cole can fucking fix it.
when I got out of high school, like I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. I knew I definitely didn't want to go to college because I always hated school. I was just did it, so I basically just wasn't a like basically. So I just didn't get in trouble by my parents. For the long story short, but I got out of school and then I moved to Virginia Beach and went to a school down here called ATI and I just started learning how to work on cars. And I learned pretty quickly that the more expensive the car was, the more money you made turning wrenches on them. So I worked for BMW, bounced around, went from Virginia Beach, DC, down to Richmond, and then now I'm back down in Virginia Beach. And worked for the dealerships for a while, but I stepped away from the dealerships probably like 3 years ago. And I work for an independent shop right now, and we work on everything from Porsche, Lamborghini, Ferrari, BMW, Volkswagen, Audi. They all suck equally, but they all pay pretty well. So,
and what I love about where you work right now is that directly across the street is your own motorcycle shop. Like when somebody talks about somebody being a fucking gearhead, that's cool. Like this dude like works across the street from where his bike shop is, and then he's like in his free time he's over there turning wrenches, his bikes, friends' bikes. Like you crash it, Cole fix it for you.
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't had to. The bike shop is like in its infancy and it needs to stay that way because I still have a full-time job, but right now everything's like word of mouth. Like if you know me and you have a fucking motorcycle, which chances are if we're friends and you ride, the answer is always yes. Like if you're in a bad way and need your bike fixed, like I got you and I will get it done as soon as I can. Cause I mean, I work full time job, but like if you're some random guy off the street, hit me up and you're like, hey, can you change my oil and my tires? The answer is no. I'm into making your shit I'm into making your shit go fast and ride hard. That's pretty much it.
Is there an end game with the shop? Like, is there going to be like Black Sail Supply Performance or Black Sail Performance or Cole's Big Dick Performance? Like, is there an end game with the bike shop?
Black Sails Racing.
It was Black Sails Racing. And I'm waiting for this guy, I think he goes by Punk Rock, to make like a banner. And then we'll just get this thing going.
Oh, bro, if you're waiting for Punk Rock to do anything, you're going to be waiting a long fucking time.
Any banners, special tools, lifts, like, you know.
I think there was I think there was another Four for the Road guy that was asking for a banner for like 6 months before he got it. So I don't.
What?
The he who cannot be named that asked for a banner.
Oh. No. No.
Fine. 2 months. 2 months. It was 2 months.
There were just other things that had to be approved first.
So what got you into clubs? I can't handle my man eating hot Cheetos over asking these fucking questions.
I'm just glad we can't hear him eating.
So tell me about this diet.
Yeah, man. So like I moved down to Virginia Beach, and pretty much like instantly the first group of guys that I met were all in the club that I ended up becoming a part of. And they took me right in to like hang out with them. There was no pressure. There was no, you know, like none of that recruiting that everybody says they don't do, but jumped right into it. And they really taught me like what it was to be a part of the life. And these guys were really smart, and it was a smaller club. And like I said, man, they just literally like, they just accepted me for as young as I was too. Like I was had just turned 21, and like most people do not want to talk. Most grown men do not want to talk to a dumbass 21-year-old at all. Cause like even I'm 27 right now. And then most of the guys that are young dudes that want to come into the club life or are interested in it, like you hang out with them for 20 minutes and you're like, I can't even, we have nothing in common. You're basically a 14-year-old boy. Like you're still a monkey.
Go hit your fucking vape pen somewhere else, kid.
Exactly. Yeah. They did MC shit, and at the time I didn't really know what that meant. And then the longer I spent time with them, and that more often I spent time with them, and the people that brought me around from other clubs out of state, and going on runs with them and stuff like that, fell in love with it. Couldn't stop. I couldn't get enough of it.
And so then, I mean, what was like the you know, I think, like you said, clubs say they don't recruit, but I say that kind of shit right there that you're describing, that's fucking recruitment, whether clubs want to admit it or not. But I mean, was it that, the runs, the riding, the way they treated you as an adult, you know, as a man, the way they respected you, the way they respected each other and carried themselves. Like, is there one thing or a combination of things that just fucking sticks out? Like, dude, that's what fucking sold me.
Dude, for me, it's the time spent on the bike, on the road with your bros, with your brothers, 100%. Like, shit, me and Dave have done it. Me and Ken have done it. Like, that is like quality time where you don't even have to speak to each other. And then those are like the stories you'll remember forever. Like, there's no replacement for that for me personally. And Dave's a bit of a like a little hopeless romantic himself, so he understands.
Oh my god. It's fucking 14 minutes in. Can we leave me the fuck alone to at least like 20 minutes? I don't know.
Oh, just
so we're Dave's gonna, a hopeless I'll just romantic. Approach
the last 10 minutes of the podcast like you did me.
That's fair.
So, I mean, my next question was, how did you two end up meeting?
Oh, dude, Jumper and Drifter.
Jumper and Drifter, 100%, yep.
And like the first time that I ever met Cole, I was riding with Jumper, and I think we met previously at this bar in Virginia Beach. that can fucking remain nameless. No, I think that the first time I met him, Jumper introduced me to him at 615, but then we started riding somewhere and Cole came to I think we stopped at like a Wawa or some shit, like some popular Virginia Beach gas station. And then Cole came up there. And so I've always remembered that, like the Wawa gas station fucking meetup versus like the bar meetup, because like now, like I've got a picture of like Cole flipping me off last time with Ken in the Wawa parking lot. I'm like, oh, as a fucking hopeless romantic fucking faggot, I'm like, oh, that makes me feel good in my heart to have this picture right here. So that's what I fucking remember out of everything. But yeah, I mean, Jumper, you know, anybody that's heard us talk about Drifter and Jumper and just those guys, you know, I think that just like Cole, good dudes attract good dudes in this life. And that's what, you know, if you're a stand-up dude and you're a dude that's about riding and you're a dude that's about just being legit and like honest about who you are, other good dudes are going to fucking want to come around and hang around that. And I think that's exactly what Jumper attracts and Cole attracts and Drifter attracts and all those guys that they hang with. If you've ever had a chance to meet Dan, if you ever had a chance, I've met Jake now once and I'm like, dude, I would drink with that guy every time I came to town. And there's people that Cole has introduced me to that have never met me before, but because somebody like Cole or Jumper or whoever says like, hey, this is a good dude from out of town, I've had great times with these people. I mean, there was a guy last time, he was like, I don't know, it was like Wednesday. And he's like, you want to go close down this other bar with me at like 2 o'clock? I was like, I really do, bro, but I probably shouldn't. So I'm going to go home, but I appreciate the offer. And that's just, you know, that's just what I found hanging out with the guys that Cole runs with.
Well,
yeah, we're all a bunch of...
That makes me happy.
We all stay out too late on days when we have school. But we like to party on school nights, which is a bad habit. But
I'm just happy that I'm part of the 615 and Wawa Memory crew now.
Oh, he said the name of the bar. How dare he?
He already did.
Hey, you know what though? let's not forget that had you stayed an extra day like you were supposed to with Cole and I, you would have been at 615 when we made that video. That's like, hey, Ken, you should have fucking been here. Look what the fuck you're missing out on. You'd have fucking been there.
But I'm good with everything that has followed. I don't think I need that in my life. My liver's fine. You know, I made it home safe. I think I would have spent a lot of money and maybe caught a DUI or 7 coming out of there. Like, I'm...
Hey, speaking of spending money, let's talk about that fucking red light right on the corner of General Booth and Damneck that apparently if you turn right on red, I didn't even know there was a fucking sign there that says don't turn right on red until I got 3 tickets in the fucking mail for $50 a pop.
So here's the problem. It's not that you can't turn right on red. It's that when the light is red, you have to stop and then go.
Is that a real thing?
Basic traffic laws, you know, those things.
No, it's definitely a no turn on. It's definitely no turn on red. There's no way like a rolling stop. No. You're trying to tell me that I got 3 tickets. Like,
if your front tires hit that white line, picture taken and you're screwed. You're screwed. There's no, and you can't, what are you going to do? Come from Wisconsin and fight it?
No, I paid him already. It was $150 in red light tickets. But you're telling me that because I did a rolling, yeah, 3 times, and each time was literally like in succession, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and each one got a little bit fucking later. There's one for like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, where the fuck was I going?
Far away.
That's outstanding.
Well, there's like 3 of them in the whole city, and you managed to find the one that works the best.
Not only did I find the one that works the best, I found it on multiple occasions. So,
and that intersection, I mean, it's a pretty major intersection. It only takes a picture in 2 directions. Coming from the bar, turning right, and then coming the way you went.
And no matter where I'm coming from, like that's my reference point to turn right to get back to Jumper's. So it's like I'm always right there at that intersection, turning fucking right or coming straight across or whatever. Like that's my frame of reference for going back to Jumper's. So I don't know. Yeah. They got me. Virginia Beach is $150 richer.
Well, there is a sign about the size of a small Volkswagen Bug that says red light camera ahead on your side of the street.
I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the Dairy Queen. Like, fuck, I could really go for a blizzard right now.
You know what's funny? I wasn't going to name what was in front of that sign, but it's fucking Dairy Queen, my friend.
Yeah, it is. That's what I'm checking out. I'm looking at Dairy Queen. I'm not paying attention to this fucking red light sign. But, oh, man. What a great time.
It is.
Ken, what's next on your question list, Ken?
Why is Dave gay?
Why do you have so many fucking flaming hot Cheetos?
Because there's more than one in a bag, Dave.
It's been 20 minutes in the same bag.
He's got three open bags.
I eat one at a time. I'm sorry, I don't eat like a caveman. And just
if you've got some fried chicken, my kid would love you. Like some flaming hot Cheetos and some fried chicken, my kid would be all over it.
Got an energy drink for him.
I fucking hate you. Dude, so you told us about how you met, the club and kind of how you got into the club stuff, through that, is that how you came up and met some of, we talk about Jumper, we talk about Drifter, we talk about Dan, we talk about Jake. Was that just from like being in life and doing the club stuff or?
Yeah. So all those guys, none of them are or ever have been in a club, never hung around, never prospect, any of that. We all have friends that are in clubs clearly. And that's what I was gonna say. The thing about Virginia Beach is like the Hampton, the Seven Cities area is huge, but like small town. Everybody kind of knows everybody. Everybody here is kind of like has that beach mentality. So you never really get too far away from our little area. You know what I'm talking about? Ken's about to learn. But all those guys like
coming in hot, boy.
You're gonna learn because you're coming on this side of the water, baby. You ain't staying in Newport News. You might as well just stay
in hot, baby.
And you might as well just stay in Jacksonville if you think you're gonna have fun in Newport News.
Oh. I'm not new.
Yeah.
I spent plenty of time up there. I know. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the beach, man.
Yeah, oh yes. So much better. Much better people too. I sent both of you guys that picture today, actually, the day that we all officially met. Like, there's a lot of people know him, so I'll say his name. He goes by Frenchie, and he's like the local Harley sales guy. He's like the biggest in the area, and he sells the most bikes. And if you buy a bike from him, he like instantly becomes your best friend, and it's true. Like, he'll text you and be like, "Hey, how's everything going? How's the kids?" He's a great dude. So if you're in the area and looking for a motorcycle, go see Frenchie at Southside. Little shout out. But one day he was having like a seafood boil, and he lives right on the North Carolina line. So I ride down there with a friend of mine. And that's when I met Jake, Dan, Will, Alex, John, the other John, and we all kind of kicked it off right away. We left that party and then bar hopped all night long. And that was like 4.5 years ago. And I don't think the party stopped yet. Like, it seems like it's every weekend or every other day we're in my shop or there or Jake and Dan's shop or over at John's house.
What kind of shop do Jake and Dan have?
It's a machine shop. It's a metal fabrication shop, so they can kind of make anything that you need.
What's the name of it?
Dynamic Fab Works. So I believe on Instagram it's Dynamic _FabWorks. And their web page is Dyna Fab Mounts, and they're also a dealer for like Leather Pro, Swicky exhaust, Hard Case Performance, and Thrash and Supply or San Diego Customs. I think they're working on both of them. Yeah, if you hit them up on their Instagram or DM them, or I think their website's under construction still right now, so they'll respond.
And they make like a lot of, you were telling us like before we got cut off last time, they make a lot of like one off stuff and kind of do a lot of original metal work and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so they make they're like the only people I believe in the country that make wall mounts for Leather Pros. So
I mean, how many people buy leather? Like, how many people have leather pros? Like, everybody that rides a Dyna, pretty much. When you, those bags are quick detached, so when you pop them off, you have to like set them on the floor, like put them on a shelf or something. Doesn't make any sense. So Jake came up with this design where you just screw this metal bracket to the wall, and then you can put your bags on, and then the bags actually lock to the bracket.
And what you were telling me, their shop is like right down from where your shop is at, right?
Yeah. So they're probably like a mile and a half away from me, like roughly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love that shit. Like, so, like, just to set a picture for people, if anybody fucking like cares. So you've got Cole's shop, you know, the garage door is open. You got a lawn chair. You're having a garage beer. Somebody's working on a Harley. You know, Dan and Jake have a shop a mile down the road. Jumper lives just a couple miles down the road. There's the bar where they filmed the movie Navy SEALs with Charlie Sheen. Like, that's right down the road. You can still go and like do coke off the bar if you want. Trust me, take my word for it. You know, they got, you know, there's just a lot of cool shit in just this little area, and these guys just, I think, just make that area fucking better. You know, I've met Dan a few times now, and I've just always had a great time with Dan. So again, just can't really say enough about that community. But I mean, so for you, I mean, are you thinking what's club life gonna take old Cole?
Right now, I'm just doing my own thing, man. I'm being the best independent biker I can be.
And we don't have to obviously get into, it's nobody's business but yours, you know, details and stuff like that, but you made an effort to, or not an effort, I'm sorry, that's the wrong fucking word. You made a choice to sit down with your club and to talk about leaving, and you left, and you left in the right way. And something that I loved about knowing Ken and knowing you and stuff like that and other people was like the ability to just bounce thoughts off of people that are outside of the situation. Like, you know, it's great to have brothers that you can talk to within your club, but sometimes there's just shit that you want somebody that's not directly involved to give you some feedback on. And that's what I love about getting a chance to fucking just chat with y'all or shoot a simple text or fucking be a complete fucking idiot. Like, I don't know, I guess I've taken the lead on doing lately. But what was like some of that shit, like just dealing with it, like leaving the club and stuff like that?
Well, like me stepping out was like 100%. It had nothing to do with the guys or anything like that. Like nothing to do with like politics or anything. It was just, I made a decision for me and my family and the direction that I want to take my life. And I told, we all had our discussion. Everybody talked and everything. And then they, you know, hey, you're doing it for the right reasons. And it was like unanimous. Like nobody had a bad word to say. And if obviously a lot of people that listen to this have been on the receiving end of having a brother leave their organization and then feeling some type of way or just in general, just being upset about it. And I didn't, they obviously may be upset about it or they may not be, but I didn't receive anything but love. So you couldn't ask for a better situation.
And one of the things that I love that, and we can edit this out if you don't want me sharing this, but one of the things that you said to Ken and I that I fucking just thought, for all the negative shit that gets publicized about the MC community because it sells or whatever, Cole said one of the coolest fucking things I ever heard about clubs. Hey, dude, these guys are still showing up to my kid, my stepkid, my girlfriend's kid, whatever. They're still showing up to his games. Even though, yeah, I left the club, and that blows my mind. I know it's not that big of a deal or statement or whatever, but I just thought that was the coolest fucking shit. And that's the shit that I hope that Ken and other, you know, all the other dudes that comment or write or do whatever on Four for the Road, that's always like the shit that's promoted is like Cole going like, dude, these dudes still show up to my kids' fucking baseball games. And I'm not even in their club anymore. That's how it fucking should be.
Yeah, exactly. And like you can 100% leave that in, because if like people need to hear that, because if you're thinking about or in a club already, those are the people that you want to have around you 100%. Like you want to have, everybody talks about like I'm in it for the brotherhood and stuff like that. Well, like, but are you going to be that bro that shows up to your other brother's kids baseball games on a fucking Tuesday at 7 o'clock when it's 110 degrees outside in this disrespectful southern heat? Like,
if you don't have that or something similar, like a similar situation, is that truly a brotherhood? And it's not and always me, about it's not always about the parties and the motorcycle riding and the staying out till 3 a.m. and doing that shit. It's if you're actually going to be there for each other.
And that's what I love about, like, you know, we talked about it before on podcast with Ken. Like, I feel like Ken got not, I don't know if negative is the right word, but I feel like Ken got in a certain headspace being where he was and not really connect. Not that there's anything wrong with that motorcycle community where he was. It just, it wasn't really his scene. It wasn't his vibe. It wasn't the kind of stuff maybe that Ken was looking for. And I think dudes need to understand that that's okay to, like, you know, find something that that's going to be a better fit for you. But like what you're describing, what Cole's describing, that's 100% what I'm excited for, because I love Ken and I want to see him fucking have that ignited passion, or I want to see him get a really big boner about fucking clubs again. And I think, you know, what you're describing is what fits his style, and what I love promoting about why I love coming back to Virginia Beach and shit like that is dudes like that. And I think Cole was spot on. Like, everybody can be a tough guy. You can mean mug, you can fucking go to the ready room and be Charlie Sheen and do whatever. But like, are you going to show up at dude's kids baseball games? Like, if you're not ready to be that brother, like, then I don't know, dude, like, don't be in a club. I don't want it, whatever. Like, to me, what Cole's describing and what I hope Ken gets back into in his new place is more important than how fucking tough you are or how fucking cool you look in your patches.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a big part of it, man. And, you know, that's the unfortunately, that's the kind of shit that gets the most publicity. Or, you know, that's the stuff that kind of leaves the lasting impression on people that don't know a whole lot about clubs. And it unfortunately just overshadows everything Cole was just talking about here with his, you know, I'm his brother. You know, it they had have not had, I apologize, but they have brotherhood. It's a family. The patch doesn't make the family. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like, it's, I'm not going to say I don't need, because that just sounds rude, but I stepped away from the club for my own reasons. And they know that in the future I may go somewhere else. But for right now I'm doing what's best for me, and they understand this, but what our dynamic as bros, as friends, as family, like, it never changed. It's never going to change. Like what Dave was saying is, everybody had, like, everybody wants that brother that they can lean on, and then they can lean on each other. Everybody has their place. There's always the tough guy. There's always the smart guy. There's always the guy that gets the shit done. Like, not, but everybody can't be the badass. You know what I mean? You need a mixed group of people to be successful. I mean, even the three of us sitting here, like, we're all friends. We talk pretty much every day. We all are completely different in our own ways, but our friendship works just like it would work in within somebody's charter.
Factual statement right there. That's going to be the clip that Dave posts right there. That's the promo clip.
Have you thought of a name for this chat, this podcast? Like, group therapy with Cole, or what?
I don't know, man.
You mean every, like, 12 hours a day for the last fucking 3 months? I feel like we have group therapy.
I think chopping up with Gatman is gonna be.
I miss when the group fucking come together sessions were because Ken or Cole were going through some shit and not me just fucking grenading my entire life. Like, this seems like a fucking good move. Let me do this. What Cole's describing about the dude showing up to the kids' games, what he's talking about with, you know, going to these parties with different clubs and even the independents, like, you know, the Jakes and the Dans, who are just fucking super dope dudes and, you know, all that stuff. And what Ken was talking about with showing up and stuff. I think that needs to be more, how the fuck am I trying to word it? I think that's missing for dudes. Like, I think, like, it needs to be normalized for dudes to be like, okay with saying, like, I love the fact that y'all showed up for my kid's baseball game. I love the fact that y'all dudes can have a fucking group chat to fucking talk out some issues. Like, that's, I think, what clubs get. Like, whether dudes want to admit it or not, like, fine, I'm here for the chicks and the blow. All right, fine, great, dude. I love riding motorcycles. Great. Everybody loves riding motorcycles. That's why you're attracted to clubs. But clubs need to normalize, like, dudes just being able to be like, bro, I love you. And fucking, I'm going through some shit today. Like, and that, I think, you know, there's a good connection in Virginia Beach. And I hope that other dudes listening to this that are doing club shit or bike shit or whatever, I hope you have that with a group of dudes. And if you don't, fucking start a group chat where you can just be a giant ass bitch once in a while and normalize that shit. Like, dudes just being like, I can't wait to come to your kid's game, or I'm fucking struggling right now, whatever the fuck case may be.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you gotta have, you can't just be raw dog in life by yourself, man. It never works out.
Yeah, you gotta gangbang that shit.
I fucking hate all of them.
So the root of Dave's issue started, what we would say, like 15 years ago, and he just hasn't stopped since.
Well, I think they started a little earlier than that to cause that. You know what I'm saying?
I got a lot of childhood trauma I'm working through over here, okay?
That's an understatement. A lot. But anyway, I'm not going to air your business out here, Dave.
But I'm saying, like I have, like, if I were right now, if Cole said, hey, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I've got a fight behind the tetherball courts. I don't even know if fucking tetherball courts are still a thing. But he's like, hey, man, every dude in Virginia Beach is out of town. Will you drive from Wisconsin to Virginia Beach and have my back? Fuck yeah. Without question. Give me 16 hours to get there. That's the drive. I'll make it in 15 and we'll do that. Or if there's dudes where you live, there's dudes where Ken lives, there's dudes where Cole lives, there's dudes where I live that we hang out with, that if I call them right now, I send out a 911 text, I'm in a bar, I'm jammed up, they're going to come. And I love that about those dudes. But like I said, it also needs to be okay to be like, dude, my marriage is hurting. I got my heart broke. I might have herpes. I'm not doing enough as a dad, whatever. Like, it needs to be okay to also have the dudes that are going to fucking Roger up for that shit too.
Absolutely, man. You can't be my friend if you're just the kind of guy to fucking tear people down all the time and that's all you're gonna fucking do. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy my fair share of shit talking, and as much as I want to fucking say he's gone, Double Barrel's still alive and well and he is ready for it. But hey, if you ain't trying to uplift motherfuckers in your circle, you know, like, you're not the kind of motherfucker I want to hang out with. You know, I can't tell you how many times a day there's just fucking awesome shit being said between these two beautiful bearded bastards. And like they were saying, that's the kind of shit that needs to get normalized. Lift motherfuckers up, man. Tell them, hey, man, like, I'm fucking proud of you.
Yeah, you got it.
You know, like, I know shit's going rough, but you got out of fucking bed this morning. Like, that's an accomplishment already. Good job. I'm off of it. You guys know.
He said I'm off of it.
There's more.
Are you drinking a fucking Mickey's?
No, it's water.
Oh, I thought it was a Mickey's. You got a wife beater on and drinking a Mickey's. I was like, you definitely had children before this podcast started. But
if that was a Mickey's, Ken wouldn't have said I'm done. He would have kept going. He'd have been like, I got so much more to go on this. But no, my dude's 100% right. Like I said, it's just clubs work, and the good clubs work because they have that balance, like Cole was talking about, where the dudes bring you in and talk to you like a fucking adult and make you feel welcome, and then where you're able to do that family shit, and you're able to do that tough guy shit, and you're able to do that gas station bike riding, stopping fucking conversation shit. You know, it has to be a mixture of fucking all of that. And I think you guys are spot on. And I wish Ken was drinking a Mickey's so that he'd elaborate a little more. But whatever, we get what we get.
Yeah, man, we got to have more of the crashing your bike on a dirt road and then a few days
what
later
the fuck?
Buying bushels of bananas at a Wawa because you may or may not be drunk heading back to a stranger's house. You know, like.
Yeah. Two things. We'll get to the bananas in a second. But fucking. Okay. One thing I can say about, like, this area and this community, like the Hampton Roads area, is try to give an example. Like 4 months ago, we had a loss of a guy in a club that was that knew everybody knew him. He was the guy, and he would always send you texts 3 times a week, make sure your kids were good. And wouldn't even be in your club. Make sure your kids are good. Make sure your family's good. And then on Friday, it hits you at like 3 o'clock and be like, hey, open house tonight. Hope to see you there. Well, unfortunately, he passed away. And then I don't even know how many motorcycles were there. 200, 300 maybe. There were so many people that showed up for this guy, and the whole community pulled together, and everybody checked on everybody and made sure they were good. The guys that were super close to him got together, and they spent pretty much that whole week together to make sure that each of them were okay. They're never going to say, yeah, I'm all right. Or they're never going to say, I'm not all right, is what I meant to say. But they were around each other. They're going to take care of each other no matter what. And it's three separate organizations, you can call it. And I feel like that's unique to our area, because I've never seen it anywhere else. But other than that, like, if you have something like that, make sure you keep it forever. It doesn't even have to be in a club setting. It could be two friends, one friend, a group of friends. Like, I definitely have it with like Jake, Dan, and all those guys for sure. Like, we talk every day. I'm sitting here at my kid's practice right now, and Dan just texted me. He said, hey bro, what are you doing? I said, sitting at practice doing the podcast. And he said, you want some company? Like, I'm not doing anything. We can shoot the shit after you're done. Like, find dudes like that. Who wants to sit at a kid's fucking baseball practice when it's 100 degrees outside?
With no bananas.
With no bananas.
Hey, sometimes you need that potassium.
We can jump right into why the fuck do you guys eat so many goddamn bananas on the road? That is the weirdest shit I've ever seen.
I trust that. You know what?
Who wasn't fucking hurting, though?
I wasn't hurting.
I try to stay healthy on the road, all right? I try to keep my body in prime shape.
Yeah, 16 PBRs and one banana. That'll set your clock right back.
You know what? No, for that real, was one made, fucking night. One fucking night I got a little sideways.
Okay. Yeah, sure. But we'll call it that. That's fine. We were in Yorktown. And we were going to visit a friend, and we stopped at that Wawa, and I think each of you grabbed two energy drinks and each a bushel of bananas. I'm standing in line behind both of you with a pack of cigarettes and I think like a Red Bull or something, or maybe another beer. And I was just like, who the fuck, who are these people? Like, who buys 9 bananas and just carries on?
We do, motherfucker.
Hey, and we're
a jolly good time.
If I would have had a bushel of bananas at Garage Beers, I probably could have salvaged that whole fucking night. But no,
there is no possible way a bushel of bananas was saving you.
Dude, you know what? I don't like the sound of that negativity in your mouth, Coleth.
But you know what? You know, let's tell this story as much as we can, vaguely. But you know, so I took a trip out there. Like I said, my kid lives out there, and I've been hyping up for a month and a half since the last time I saw him, Cole, some other people. I was hyping up Garage Beers. It's all I want to do. This means a fucking, I'm just so excited for this. It means something to me. I just want to fucking do this. And I did it. And I did it a little bit too hard. And you know, I made a mistake, and I made a mistake, and I had to own that mistake. And I feel like the bros, being good bros, like tried to give me help, advice, out, excuses, whatever. And at the end of the day, like, you know, I had to take full accountability for what I fucked up and what I did wrong. And there was nowhere else to put blame or anything else like that. Or there was no excuses to make. Like, at the end of the day, the only thing that was going to make it even remotely better with people was be like, you know what? Yeah, I fucked that up and it cost me stuff or whatever that I meant the fucking world to me. and to be able to have, you know, dudes, a group, what a club, fucking Kiwanis Club, whatever, your MC, your fucking American Legion, wherever you're going, to be able to just go to those dudes and like, it feels different to be able to have somebody. They're probably not going through the same experiences you are, but you probably have similar shared experiences, and they can help you with some of that burden. And dudes need to know that that's okay. You don't have to take it all on yourself. And you know, to be honest, like the fucking shit, the shit show that I created, man, that shit ate me up. It eats me up. Whatever the right fucking word is. And there's nothing that I can do to take that time back. Even God, no matter how fucking much I wish I could just fucking rewind that shit and go from absolutely perfect to absolutely fucking destroying this shit. But you can't. And you know, at the end of the day, I think accountability is huge. You have to be accountable to yourself, and you have to say, I fucked this up, and I'm sorry, and apologize to those people that you fucking made an ass out of yourself in front of. But I think having a group of dudes that you can come to and be like, man, I really fucked up, and it cost me everything that, okay, well, I have, you know, kids and stuff like that. It cost me something that was just very valuable to me. And to not get judgment, like, that's huge. Like, as dudes, like, we can't be like, oh, faggot. Like, we can a little bit. But you have to know when there's a time. Obviously, like, I brought it on myself. Like, dude, I'm fucking retarded, and I expect you guys to fucking blast me for being retarded. But there needs to be a time where you can just fucking, like, not worry about that and be like, dudes, I'm in a bad spot. Like, I fucked up. I don't know how to make it right. I don't know how to move forward with the mistakes I've made. And that is what I experienced last time. And it was, like I said, nobody to fucking blame but myself. That's something that fucking, man, I don't know. It probably can never be made right. And the people that are affected by it will probably always have a reason to hold that against me, and I get that. I fucking get that. And the only thing I can do is like I said, you have to own it. You have to be responsible and accountable for it. And the only relief that you're gonna get until you can process it is like I said, is having that club, those dudes, that group chat, that fucking bar room, whatever. That sweet tea, if maybe going 16 PBRs deep isn't a good idea again, you know, is having that fucking group of dudes to go to. And I don't think that this made any fucking sense, because not only are we talking in terms that are just fucking none of other people's businesses, I don't fucking know how to describe it. But like I said, the main fucking point is that, like, you know, you had a group of dudes to come to after you got absolutely fucking throttled by dumb fucking decisions that you made that were decisions that were just completely outside of your character, not representative of who you are, not what you want to present to the community, to people you care about. It's just, and then to fucking fall on your face that fucking hard, and your dude still like rally up for you, Roger up for you, and fucking talk you through it. Like, that's the point that I guess I was rambling on, and that to me is just fucking huge. I gotta go.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not crying.
Look, but you could apply it to any situation. Shit fucking happens. Life happens, and you have to make the decision on if you're gonna fucking lay over and die, or fucking climb that hill again, because it sucks to do it alone. And a lot of times as men, we do it alone. But if you have fucking three or four guys or a whole club or a whole fucking chapter standing behind you, like, makes it that much easier. It really does.
Dude, I love what you just said. Like, as dudes, we try to climb that shit alone sometimes. But when you have a group of dudes, whether that's a club or just, you know, those friends or whatever, you know, it makes it easier to fucking, and it, yeah, just, I feel like And I'll say something, you know, like being accountable to Cole and Ken and all these other people that you know, I had garage beers with or whatever, like being accountable to them too. Like that helps because that focuses your attention to be like, look, dudes, I'm sorry. I showed my fucking ass. That's not how, you know, that's not who I am. And that's not what I want you to have an impression of. And I think, you know, like dude should also normalize that. Like don't just brush it off or don't just be like, ha ha, whatever. Like if you fuck up, own it, apologize for it, have that accountability, like to hold yourself responsible and to make it right as much as you can, if you can make it right. Like for me, you know, I have to deal with the fact that I don't live in Virginia Beach. I'm fucking 1,000 miles away. I probably can't make it right to all the people that I hurt or pissed off or whatever. And that fucking weighs, that's a ton of fucking weight. Like, it bothers me, you know, and whatever. It bothers me every fucking day. I think about it every fucking day. And you know, maybe that's not healthy. Like, you know, you can't beat yourself up. You have to learn to move past 100% and whatever. But just being able to come to a group and be like, dudes, this is how I'm dealing with it. 100% something that needs to be more normalized across the board.
Yeah. But yeah, when you come back in a couple months, we can just double down and do it like twice as good.
Yeah. you dropped a 500-pound bomb last time. Let's just drop nukes this time, bro.
He said,
fuck all that closing down a bar. Let's close down three of them and then keep drinking.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
We don't get arrested. Did we have a good time?
No, dude, it was embarrassing. You know, for anybody that's, you know, hey, I got drunk and I threw a beer in Cole's direction, and that was probably one of the more tamer things that I did, because I was just
you almost caught a fucking entire twisted, you almost caught the atom bomb, the twisted tea can right to the forehead. Because I was like, if that motherfucker would have hit me.
Well,
what happened?
So that's kind of a weird thing to pivot off of. I do have an important question for you, Cole.
Yes.
The most important question I've asked of my life. Dave, Dapper Dan, Jumper, fuck, marry, kill, go.
Oh, shit. That's my question. So it's Dave, Dapper Dan, and Jump.
Yeah. Man, you had time to
marry Dave. You gotta marry Dave. He's like the most sensitive person in this circle.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll like take care of you, you know. And then you gotta fuck Dan.
100%.
You have to.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm killing Jumper? Or can I kill Jim just like you guys did?
I feel like Jumper and Jim are interchangeable because they're old. They've lived a good life. Like fucking let it go. You've lived great. You're getting killed.
let it go. That's funny.
Dude, Jumper's only like 50. He's just had a lot of stress in his life.
I think he's 50, he's mid 50s.
Dude, Jumper's the only person I've ever met that looks older than their dad.
That is true. That is true. Pappy moves well for being 75.
That is outstanding.
Yeah, just got a trike 2 days ago too. Got back on a motorcycle. Yeah.
Oh shit. Is he trying to show his son what's up or what?
Oh well, Jumper's a crazy ass. Should not be riding a motorcycle and decide.
How far did he go the whole distance with you the other day?
Yeah. So Sunday we rode, we probably rode 150 miles. And then we called it a night. And I went home. Everybody else went home. And then I get a text message in our little group chat at about 10:30 from Jumper saying, hey, I'm getting on the bike. I'll let you guys know where I end up. Like we were still out on Monday night. It was Monday night. It was 4th of July.
And, so
I get a message from him at about 1:30 with the route that he rode. He did 100, 100 plus miles by himself at 10 o'clock at night, which is no big deal for him. But
a week ago, he wasn't even walking.
Yeah, he can barely walk.
Well, as long as you're moving, you don't need to worry about your legs, right?
And you know what? I don't know if Jumper is like takes the time or the technology to like listen to these podcasts when we do them. It's not that he's not good with technology. He absolutely is. But I just don't know that he takes the time to like download or listen to a podcast that we do. But I will say, while we're talking about like normalizing dudes being able to share shit with other dudes, Jumper, you can share shit with, but he's 100% in the other direction. So here I am telling Jumper that I just like grenaded fucking everything and like dropped an atom bomb on all this shit. And he pulls out a bottle of I don't know, whiskey, scotch, whatever the fuck it was.
Oh,
and
no, two you had a nice bottle of Angels and Envy rye to yourself. Which is about a $90 bottle of whiskey, God, by the way. Damn. Yeah.
So here's Jumper, like, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, hey, looks like you really fucked your night up. Want a couple of shots?
Yeah. Yeah, he's good for that.
So yeah, you know what? You need to normalize talking to the homies, but you also need to make sure that your club has a Jumper around too, because not only will he take care of you, but when you really fuck your shit up, he's going to be there with the bottle you need.
Mm-hmm. And when you're fucked up and ready to fight, he'll be the first guy to wrestle you to the ground. That I've seen happen. He's good for that.
Well, that's what's up. Go Jumper. I'm a big fan of the Jumpman as well.
Hey, but we're coming up on 56 minutes, and I know Cole wanted 10 minutes to roast me. So do we start that now? Now that we've all like had the heart to heart, and I'm like, hey, I'm a big sappy faggot, and I fucked a lot of shit up in Virginia Beach, and fucking Cole and Ken got me through or are helping me work through it because I'm a big fucking fat bitch. Like, now is the time for Cole to roast me, or did I basically just take care of all of that?
I mean, well, first off, you're doing a pretty good job.
First off, that's cheating. Okay. I explain this on the Bikers Lifestyle podcast. So go over there, listen to that show, come back to this one before we get into fucking Dave up.
Is that Dave, episode out yet?
Yeah, it's been out. Yeah,
no. Oh, and I didn't Dave, see it. I didn't see it drop.
I haven't literally sent you the picture of it in the group chat that we're in.
I saw the picture, but I thought that was like what it was going to look like. I didn't see them drop the actual episode yet.
Oh, I literally just figured you like missed it in between wiping tears from your face. So anyways, go over to Bikers Lifestyle podcast and check out how. So Dave has a tactic. What he does, and it's fucking genius. What he does is he bursts your bubble before you could burst his. So what he's going to do is he knows the shit talking's coming. So he's going to run his shit through the fucking ground first and take all your ammunition away. So you'd be like, oh yeah, you weepy little bitch. And you're like, yeah, dude, we just discussed that for 15 minutes. What's next? Yeah, and you're like, just sitting there just like, God damn it. What do I fucking do now? All right. Well, you have gray in your beard, you old fuck. Like, that's not offensive, right? Like, old in a fucking community where men typically die young. Like, that's an achievement and not a fucking dig. You know?
Also, I'm trying to get on fucking Dan's level of being a gray fox. So there's that.
Dude.
Good fucking luck, bro. He was just blessed by the gods. He was just, dude, like you said, even his nose hairs are beautiful. Fuck that man.
But you know what, dude? I think you're 100% right. And like, I hope that something we've always talked about is that the first, if you're going to talk shit, you have to be able to take shit. And so I would never, like, I hope anyway, and please fucking punch me in the dick if I'm ever wrong. But like, always able to like take a joke, take criticism, take like whatever, like just own it. Like, you know, being a fucking history nerd, you're not going to make fun of me for that. I own it. Like being fucking, you know, whatever, a big pussy about certain things, fucking own it. Like, you know, like that's my jam. That's what I like. Like, I want to sit on the beach with Cole and I want to fucking listen to some John Wolfe with him and hold hands. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I could own that.
See, my favorite thing to do is like whenever, because like I catch a little bit of shit for that too, being a history guy, you know, enjoying history, not like a historian like you or Jim. But like, I'll catch a little shit and be like, oh, you like reading books about fucking motorcycle club history, but you're not in a club? And be like, yeah, man. Like, I like to turn it around, make them feel like shit. Be like, yeah, man, I'm reading this book about your club, actually. Did you know about A, B, and C? I bet you didn't, because you didn't read the book. You're just there for the patch.
What about Oof. What about holding what about holding Cole's hand on the beach?
I mean, I'm down with you,
I figured we'd just skim over that one.
Oh, no. We're going to circle back to that. Because I will be holding his other hand.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right next to the needles on the oceanfront sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. Romantic as shit.
Yeah, but he
can get high, AIDS, and fucked all at the same time.
Yeah, but like what Dave was saying, man, like if you both of us were saying, like, as men, like, we have a tendency to just be like, okay, here's the jar, open the lid, and put all your feelings in it, and fucking close it, and throw it away. Like, sometimes you can't do that, and you need the guys that fucking will open that jar and fucking hold it in front of your face and be like, deal with it, pussy.
Oh, fuck that. Just get another jar.
Yeah, get another jar. Get another jar. Yeah.
Then don't cry, goddammit.
Hey, that jar... That jar is getting full. Fuck that jar. Get a new one.
Nuclear waste barrel. Fill that bitch. Bury it deep, deep, deep down.
And like, you know what? Like, not only should you be on the lookout for dudes in your circle that you can have that with and fucking have those conversations with, but fucking be aware of yourself, dude, and be like, you know what? This is fucking who I am, and I'm fucking okay with it. You want to make a garage beer playlist with fucking certain songs on it, fucking own it and do it. Dude, I hate nothing more than dudes that fucking love that shit, but they have to act hard all the time. Like, there's a time and a place to fucking act hard, and there's a time and a place just to be a fucking retard. And I want to chill with you more when you're okay with being a fucking retard than somebody that thinks that they got to act a certain way all the time or people are going to find out. Nah, dude, I want to hear some fucking John Wolfe while I drink my fucking garage beers and think about the beach or whatever the fuck I want to do. And I'm fucking okay with that.
Y'all are not even sappy enough for me. So on my way to work today, and I love that you brought that up and you explained it like that. On my way into work today, my headset died. So I was like, fuck it. Came over up on the Road Glide screen. It was like, hey, do you want to connect this thing? I was like, fuck yeah, I do. You know what song I was in the fucking middle of? Just take a little guess. Just one guess.
We listen to like fucking Dear Maria, Count Me In, you nerd.
No. First off, I'm a big fan of emo. But no, it was not. It was not.
What was it?
Christ.
Okay, well now
I was jamming.
Now YouTube's gonna shut us down.
It's okay.
It's only like 3 seconds. It'll be all right.
Yeah. No, dude, I was just jamming. I like look over and there's this chick in the car next to me, just giving me the side eye. It's like, bitch, fuck you, bitch.
Fuck. So all right. So when we wrap this up, we're gonna put Dan's and Jay, we're going to put their business in the comments if people can do that. Can we put your fucking Instagram handle in there? Because I want people to come to Virginia Beach. They have to go to 615. They have to have a PBR tall boy with Cole. Like, if you're not from Virginia Beach, you have to go to Virginia Beach. You have to go to 615. You have to have a PBR tall boy with Cole. And you have to fucking do some kind of damage to your life, too.
Was it, Cole, what was it that you, whiskey and what at the place who shall not be named?
Oh, you're talking about the drink that we had with whenever we came back from like Pearls or whatever.
Yeah,
that was Red Stag and Ginger Ale.
Red Stag and Ginger Ale. That shit will change your fucking life.
All right. Well, find Cole in Virginia Beach and have a Red Stag and Ginger Ale with him, or a PBR Tallboy. I can't say enough good things about Virginia Beach. I can't say enough good things, obviously, about fucking Cole. Whether he stays independent, winds up with another club, like anybody that, first of all, you're gonna fucking recruit Cole because he's fucking Cole, and so any club that gets him, you're fucking better off for it. And if he stays independent, the fucking independent bikers are better off for it. So I don't know, dude. I fucking love you, Cole, and I appreciate you coming on this podcast. I appreciate you listening to all my whack ass bullshit in the fucking group chat. I appreciate you making fun of Ken with me. You're just fucking you're just an all right dude. I love it.
I appreciate you guys having me on. And I guess on the next episode of Dr. Phil, we can listen to Dave in the group chat.
I'm done.
Yeah,
it's Ken's
turn. I'm here for it.
I went. It's Ken's turn.
Nope. Ken doesn't have any problems. So anyways, hey, thank you so much for tuning in this week for this week's episode. Everybody, it was really awesome to have you guys here. We're going to have tags down there in the comment box or the fucking description. That's the word I was.
And don't forget to go to the Dynamic Fabworks Instagram page. That will be in there, and fucking let Dan know how goddamn handsome he is.
Tell him he's got pretty nose hairs. And also, don't forget to follow Cole's dumbass at _markit0, because he walks around with zero bitches.